Peter Lynham.
And how are you going today?
What the hell is going on with religion at the moment?
Yes. Well, may not be all hell, could be a bit of heaven as well.
Yeah, I just thought for powerful effect, the dark side has most shocking power, I think.
Now, so, Peter Lynham, you can take a virtual tour to Mecca this Hajj.
Yes, and starting today, and that's the interesting thing, the 27th of July marks the start of the Hajj season, which is on the Islamic lunar calendar. And, of course, this is the dream that people save up for a lifetime to be ready to go on the Hajj. And this year, well, actually, if you're in Saudi Arabia, you can go. They've suddenly relaxed the rules.
Mm.
They were going to have no Hajj at all, keep the holy places closed. But now they've said if you're in Saudi, you can go on the tour. But other than that, you'll have to do it virtually.
Mm-hmm. And this is just with your phone. This isn't with like a 3D headset or anything outrageous,
well,
is it?
There are two, as far as I can follow, there are two ways to do it. You can actually nominate somebody to do the Hajj for you, and then you can probably keep up with them as they go to the holy shrine of Islam. But the other thing you can do is use these fantastic phone apps. And you can imagine that the Saudis are pretty well equipped with technology, so that you can follow the tours as the days come, especially to go to the Kaaba, the great rock in Mecca, which is the central site of Islam. You can be there virtually. Mm-hmm. And do your pilgrimage. Of course, it's pretty difficult to follow all the other requirements because the Hajj, you're supposed to, there are lots of other religious requirements that might be a bit impractical if you're not in Saudi, in terms of diet, in terms of dress, and in other respects, preparing to go on this great sacred pilgrimage.
Is it as much about the walk as it is the destination?
Yes. Because it's a pilgrimage.
Right.
So the actual act of uprooting yourself and going this long distance, and that's a kind of penitential act.
Mm.
And in most religions, sacred journeys are really quite an important part of the tradition.
So in order for somebody to do this properly at home, they need to maybe get a treadmill and get...
I would say that they've got a mighty lot of walking to do, imaginative walking. So I haven't
Google Earth, Google Maps, and maybe a treadmill, and you could kind of pull it off.
Yes, that's right. But I think probably that's where, as I say, the Hajj won't be totally satisfactory as a virtual event. The other side is that when you get to the sacred sites, to pray on those sites brings a special blessing and special reward from Allah. And so that bit could be done on your behalf, or perhaps the camera would enable you to do it directly. I'd have to say, Islamic scholars are not exactly agreed on the legitimacy of all of this. But, I mean, it's an unusual situation. The Quran wasn't written with in mind of modern cameras, was it?
It sounds like a good opportunity for some decent grifts to come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, is it a free 360-degree virtual tour? Or is it something you subscribe to or pay for?
The ones that I've looked at appear to be free.
Mm.
And certainly, you see, along with this, I mean, it wouldn't be free completely because acts of mercy need to be done at the same time. And so you need to give money to the poor and needy as you make the Hajj. So, I mean, that expense you wouldn't avoid. But I haven't seen, perhaps I'm wrong, perhaps I haven't explored enough sites, but the ones that I've seen appear to be offering it freely. And I subscribe to the Launch Good site, which is the Islamic student site. And that's really interesting because they've encouraged a lot of people. So maybe more people will actually go on the Hajj eventually.
Launch Good.
Yes, okay. Launch Good. Because for good Muslims, genuinely to be a devout Muslim, you need to be involved in acts of charity and mercy.
Right, okay.
And I subscribed to this about the same time I think the site developed, where after the Christchurch shootings.
Mm.
And there was a tremendous well of concern that good Muslims would show real devotion to the needs of so many of the victims of the Christchurch massacre.
Interesting. Okay.
The issue that I think, I mean, will things be any better next year? And it seems pretty clear that it'll be touch and go for next year. And, you know, in effect, a lot of people will have already bought their tickets before the lockdown. And, you know, that for airlines like Qatar Airlines and the like, these are really crucial for keeping themselves afloat. They're massively successful at this time of the year in bringing in people. So for those people, presumably they've already got bookings and will hope to reschedule them for next year.
Have you ever done VR, Peter?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty mint. I've done it before, and one of the most low-key entry-level things you can do with VR is go to Google Earth and just like you know, I cruised to the Colosseum and had a look and stuff like that. You just kind of fly around the globe like you're Superman. So it's not beyond the realm of somebody actually mapping it with like a 3D camera and getting that done for people.
And managing to do that.
Yeah, like you can almost kind of do it, probably kind of crummy version of it anyway. So.
Well, I certainly have done that.
It might actually be good for sites. Like I've been to Angkor Wat and stuff in Cambodia, and I was allowed to walk on these sandstones, and you kind of knew it was wrong. You knew that you were eroding away the steps and stuff. And I mean, for the purpose of literally people just going to see something else further abroad.
This is an environmentally appropriate way to do it.
Yeah. It could be the future. But then in the case of like the jungle, just swallow it off if people don't walk on it. So it's kind of it's an interesting, I guess, just the traffic. Maybe local people should be on it, but not, you know what I mean?
And increasingly, I'm sure that the sights and smells and the feels of these places will be available virtually. And then I can foresee a massive debate in Islam and in all the other religions that want you to make a pilgrimage, whether it be to the sacred river of Hinduism.
You're almost arguing spirituality against that by saying, look, by spirit I'm there, but I'm not there in person.
But religions in some ways were conceived in a very physical world.
Right.
And the spirituality was placed into the physical. And
there's a power of having people beside each other as well, believing the same thing, that there is a hysteria in that that's kind of important to religion, I think.
Well, yes, but on the other hand, we've seen the phenomenon growing of religions that reflect our current, you know, climate and tone. And so a lot of the colourful new religions do reflect ways of communication that are totally different. Scientology, for example, is really built on a mechanism. And so I think it's very likely that religions will continue to evolve to reflect this. Right. After all, there's no reason why experiences couldn't actually be heightened by the digital world. And when I get round to talking about the other referendum, which I nearly offered to do this week, and one of the things I'll note is that cannabis has a bit of a tradition in religion.
Oh, yeah, I was actually good. I'm glad this is on your mind. This is fantastic. We should definitely get on to that.
Yeah, well, I think this is probably our next week's topic because, you know, there's lots of ways in which the spiritual cannot be simply disembodied, but the way in which it is embodied can be varied.
What was that burning bush made of, man?
Yes,
it's fucking DMT, bro. Yeah, totally. Okay, Peter, let's definitely chat on the herb next week.
Okay, very good. We'll see you then.
Thanks, mate.